Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's a beautiful day for a Pentecost. Maybe it's not as pretty as it is in the Rockies, but it's still nice. For those of you who weren't here yesterday, my wife and I just returned from a trip out west, and it was pretty nice. Lower humidity and lower temperature, and gasoline was higher, though. So, anyway, a long time ago, when I was probably 15 or 16 years old, one of the things I liked to do after my parents went to bed, and I had two, was to play with the dial on the radio and see if I could get in some long-distance radio stations. We lived north of St. Louis in Illinois on a farm, and so seemed like the radio stations came in better at night. Anyway, sometimes I could pull in a Mexican station and listen to that in Spanish. One time I pulled in a station from Little Rock, KAAY, and they played rock and roll, and I listened to that for a while, and then they had a religious program on called World Tomorrow. And so the speakers were interesting. There were two different speakers, had real similar voices, and I couldn't distinguish one from another for a while. One was Herbert Armstrong, one was Garner Ted. So I liked to listen to them and did for a while, and they offered several free booklets and a free magazine. And so I sent off for the Plain Truth and got a couple booklets, one called Book of Revelation Unveiled, and the other one was Why Were You Born? It was always interesting to me to try to find out the purpose of life. And so after reading those, you know, I still didn't understand too much why I was born and didn't understand very much about the Book of Revelation. Well, but I kept taking the Plain Truth and went off to college and flunked out my first year. And then I got drafted during the Vietnam War and spent a couple of years in the Army. And still subscribe to the Plain Truth. Begin to understand a little bit more. One of the first things I did was tithe. And I still remember going to the mess hall early in the morning and having a nice breakfast of bacon and eggs and things like that. I think that was really nice. And I played in the band in the Army, which was nice not to have to be shot at in Vietnam. So one of the things that we like to do on Saturday, the people around like to have us do, was to go into small mountain towns and march in parades and so forth and so on. So did a lot of things on Saturday like that, and it didn't hurt my conscience at all, you know. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about this morning was what Pentecost means to me. Now, Pentecost in the New Testament was a time when God poured out His Holy Spirit on those who were followers of Jesus Christ. And so God has done that for His people down to this time. But on a real personal basis, one of the things that I found out about that is that I need God's Holy Spirit to understand the things of God. So if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll read that to you out of the Bible. Now, I know that God was working with me before I was baptized and before I received the Holy Spirit, and so I understood some things before that. My wife was a church kid, and she grew up in the church, and so I'm sure she had a lot more understanding than I did at a younger age. But this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 9, starting in verse 9. As it is written, eye has not seen or ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. It didn't occur to me when I was attending the Methodist Church when I was 15 or 16 years old, that my final reward would be anything besides heaven or hell. And so it was a big revelation to me that I could be in God's kingdom, and that God was actually training people, selecting people right now for that. So that was a big deal, a big revelation. If you read on in verse 11, Paul goes on to say, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him?" We wouldn't be able to have sent men to the moon and brought them back safely if we didn't have a spirit in man, if we were just like the other animals and worked off of instinct and perhaps, seemed to be a little smarter, a little intelligent at times. You know, you can train your dog, whatever his name is, Rover or whatever, to go pick up your newspaper or your shoes, something like that. And he might do that if he's a good dog, if you treat him well. But if you ask Rover to balance your checkbook, he's not going to do very well, you know. And so you have to have the spirit in man to understand the things of man. It goes on to say in verse 11, "Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." And so here we are on the day of Pentecost, remembering a time when God's Holy Spirit was first poured out on a number of people, starting the New Testament church and giving those people understanding of what God wanted them to do. It also provided other things. It also gave them power in case they were afraid or timid or unwilling to speak, like Peter had a problem when following Christ. But after that, after he'd received the Holy Spirit, he boldly went into the Sanhedrin and was a powerful witness. And so the Holy Spirit not only opens our mind to God's truth, but it gives us power to do his will. And it gives us comfort in times of great stress and great distress. So we appreciate that. You know, God inspired the Bible to be written in such a way that is hard to understand. It really is. People can read the same words. People who do not have the Holy Spirit can read the same words as you and I do and come away with a totally different understanding. They just do not understand God's plan and do not understand what God is doing here. Now, certain things everybody understands, like when you read the Ten Commandments and it says, "You shall not steal," you can understand that. Or, "You shall not bear false witness," "shall not murder," and so forth. But the Fourth Commandment is kind of hard to understand. I know my wife bought me a Bible help book, and it's Unger's commentary on the Old Testament. And it's kind of interesting. He has a lot of really good things. He's Protestant. A lot of really good things to say about the Ten Commandments, including, he says, the fact that the Ten Commandments are binding on Christians today, all except for the fourth one. And he rationalizes that away as not being binding. Don't have to keep the seventh-day Sabbath. And so people who don't have God's Holy Spirit don't have a real good understanding always. So that's one thing that I learned. One thing that Pentecost means to me, God's giving me the Holy Spirit so that I can understand His will in my life, what He wants me to do. The second thing that I learned about from Pentecost is that God is calling only the first fruits now. God is calling only the first fruits now. You know, Pentecost is called the Feast of Weeks. It's also called the Feast of First Fruits. We are them. We are the first fruits. All that God has called down through the years, I guess from righteous Abel maybe, to us, are the first fruits. We'll be the first fruits whenever they're resurrected, whenever Christ returns. God is not calling everybody now. If he was, he'd be a failure. You know, only a third of the world. About 33% of the world are professing Christians. That's even professing Christians. So most of the world don't even believe in Jesus Christ, let alone are obeying Him. God is revealing His plan of salvation right now only to a select few. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you don't have to go too far. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 22, it reveals that God has an order in calling people. First Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, and we certainly know that it's appointed to man once to die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. God will resurrect everyone for judgment period, and some who have been obedient to Him will be resurrected and changed into spirit beings. God will also give eternal life to those who He's called and who have answered that calling and remained faithful to Him. So that's kind of what that means right there. But it says each one in his own order. So it's not everybody is called at this time. Each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Christ is the first of the first fruits, represented by that wave sheaf offering during the days of unleavened bread. It says afterward those who are Christ at His coming. Well, they'll be first fruits too at His coming. And so that's who we are, those who will be Christ at His coming. And we hope to to endure to the end and to be Christ when He returns, whether we be dead or alive at that time. And you can read, you can understand more about that by reading in Revelation 20 and by keeping the holy days and by having the meaning of the holy days expounded to us. I remember Mr. Armstrong in his autobiography, he kept the holy days for 7 years and until he finally began to understand the meaning of them. So the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, but that doesn't mean it's going to be immediate. It's something that we have to have patience for, and God will provide the understanding. So two of the things that mean a lot to me with the Feast of Pentecost is, one, I need God's Holy Spirit to understand His truth, and two, God is only calling the first fruits right now. We are the first fruits. Now is our time of judgment.